Carla and I to be here with Murray and Rosemary. And in fact, I don't know how many of you will remember or were actually with us, but we shared the very first PFI New Zealand conference together at the Whitcliffe Training Centre, right over in, the name of the place escapes me. In Featherston, thank you, exactly. And that was an incredible time. We were all a tad younger then, but it was an amazing, in fact, an amazing launching pad, not just for Marla and I, because this was very early stages of our ministry in Israel. It was the early years of prayer for Israel here in New Zealand. And there are many people in attendance at that conference who actually went on, were called on to a variety of very valuable, cutting-edge ministries that have been interwoven with our lives during that time. So we're truly honored, Murray and Rosemary, that you're back at this. Thank you, Lord, that He brought you guys back just at a time where Marla and I are really having a wonderful reconnection with New Zealand and some of our roots here. And so just great to be here. And now here in Totara Springs, Matamata, for the weekend. Use the term housekeeping issues, right? Right. Well, first of all, one for me was... How many of you met Marcel Rebiai in a relatively recent conference? Might have even been, was it the last conference? The time before. Marcel is and his wife Regula are very dear friends of Marla's and mine, and we do quite a lot of work together. We are colleagues as well as friends, and he especially asked to pass on greetings from Jerusalem to you all, and he's very jealous that we're here, and he just got back from the Lebanon. He has a son and his family serving there. That's about as much as I'm able to share for security reasons, but he just got back, sneaked in and out of the Lebanon. What else did I have to share? Great. Look at the number of folk here from all over the country and from the Western Island. And you need to know that you'll have to cozy up well, because I think from what I understood from Ken that we're probably expecting another 60-odd tomorrow. So we'll be a full house. So it's great to be here. Now, what we're about to do is really... because we need to begin right, and taking care of all of those issues at the beginning. What we want to do at the next stage of worship tonight is to begin with a ceremony of the receiving of the Sabbath, something that is at the heart of Jewish tradition and at the heart of Messianic Jewish tradition. It's something that is practiced in our home. Those of you who have had hospitality with us over the years will know that. And so shortly we're going to begin with the lighting of the candles, the blessings, and go through the stages for a few minutes of receiving the Sabbath, the Shabbat. And it's interesting that we begin with this ceremony, because that's what it is. It is a ceremony. It's a ceremony that honors the Lord, and it honors the Lord by helping us, helping the Jewish family, and those who are brought into the Jewish family from the nations to remember well, what the Lord has done. We'll do this ceremony both in Hebrew, as is our tradition and language from Israel, and Marla will translate as we go along so that you really have a full impact and understanding of what we're doing. So that's the first of two ceremonies we will do and be involved in this weekend as a congregation. Receiving of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, and we will end the conference in another ceremony, the Holy Supper, the Lord's Table, and again, it is a ceremony of remembrance, remembering well what the Lord has done. So from the get-go, the focus is on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Yeshua, Lion of Judah, and we will complete the task this weekend on Sunday towards the middle of the day in the same way. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's just for the sake of honoring the tradition, I'm wearing kippah tonight, and I will, where has she gone? And will wear the prayer shawl.
And for those of you who have celebrated Shabbat before, you would remember that often the mother, wears a head covering, and I forgot it at home. So Evan is my covering. Okay? So scripturally, we're fine.
ברוך אתה, אדוני אלוהינו, מלך העולם, אשר קידשנו בדמו של ישוע, וציוונו להיות אור לעולם. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified each one of us by the blood of Yeshua, and commanded us to be the light unto the nations. Amen.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yechunecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you His peace. Amen.
Yom HaShishi. Vayachulu HaShemayim VaAretz VeChol Tzva'am. VeYachal Elohim BeYom HaShvi'i Malachto Asher Asar. VeYishvot BeYom HaShvi'i Mikol Malachto Asher Asar. VeVarech Elohim Et Yom HaShvi'i VeYikadesh Oto Kivo Shavat Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Elohim LaAsot.
Amen. The sixth day, and the heavens and the earth and all their hosts were completed. And God finished by the seventh day His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, for on it He rested from all His work which God created to function. Amen.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu bedamo shel Yeshua, veratzavanu, veshabbat kodesho be'ahava uv'ratzon hinchilanu, zikaron lemaaseh brishit, ki hu yom tchila l'mikrei kodesh, zecher letziat mitzrayim, kivanu v'charta, ואותנו קידשת מכל העמים בשבת קודשך באהבה וברצון הנחלתנו ברוך אתה אדוני מקדש השבת. Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by the blood of Messiah, has desired us and given us in love and goodwill this holy Shabbat as a heritage in remembrance of the work of creation, the first of the holy festivals commemorating the Exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen us and sanctified us from among the nations, and with love and goodwill given us your holy Shabbat as a heritage. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotze lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Now, we're too many to invite up all at once to come and participate in the table. I'm going to, in a second, hand over to Mala. But when what she shares with us is completed, in fact, as we round up the evening, Ken will prompt us, and you are free to come up and share of the sweet challah loaves of the Sabbath, and that can be a good forerunner to our supper that's coming up a little later on. Okay? So, as Ken said, the theme of this conference, really, it was inspired as part of a process for us. And you should know, just drawing you into a little portion of Mala's and my lifestyle, all the week moves, in fact, rises up to the Sabbath, the Shabbat. It'll be family on Friday night, sometimes extended family, right, Bev? And who's been with us on more than one occasion. And then, on the Saturday morning, the Jewish Sabbath, we would gather as a community to worship and celebrate our faith in the Messiah. And the Sabbath day will be, in fact, for us, serving will be a busy day. So Sunday, when it comes around, is really like Pastor's Monday, Rob, here in New Zealand. And very often in the warm months of the year, which is two-thirds of the year, you'll find Mala and I on our favorite little piece of beach called Mikmorot, the large fishing net, it means in Hebrew. And on a Sunday morning, you know, you're lucky to see another person and a dog on the beach. But Mala and I will be there in our little picnic chairs, and we'll take that time really, really to seek the Lord and pray together and scripture together. And in particularly, if there are key issues that we need guidance and wisdom on, that place over the years has become... Who has a favorite kind of closet space that where you go to serious matters with the Lord, that you go to that place? I don't know what it is, but that location for us is key. And in this particular case, the challenge of really finding that conference theme, that correct theme, came out of one of those Sunday mornings, and hence the call through to Ken and Mary and Snell Beach on that cold, wet night here in New Zealand. So, Israel, a light to the nations. For many of us, it will conjure up many things to many people, perhaps. And we want over the course of this weekend to guide you through some areas of challenge. Marla will begin for us tonight by really bringing a focus from the scripture, taking us through a number of scriptural texts that deal with this issue of light to the nations. And that will form a basis for us as we enter into the variety of topics that we'll deal with right through to the middle of Sunday. So, Marla, give her your attention. She's a good teacher. She will help us. No pressure.
No pressure. And what is so lovely for me tonight is that I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. And it isn't a Bible study. It's just to bring our focus on a number of scriptures that I'm sure you will know off by heart from Isaiah 42, as Mary already had for us earlier on. So if we could just throw up. I've chosen three scriptures, and of course the scripture, as you see, is beginning with Isaiah 42, verse 1, and we will continue on to Isaiah 42, verse 6, where we will see the quote, light to the nations, and on to Isaiah 49, verse 6, in just a moment. But if I could just pray and give this time to the Lord as well, even though we've asked God's blessing just for myself. Father, in Yeshua's name, I pray that you would help me keep focused and help all of us, even though we've had a long drive today, to really focus on what you are saying to us from the beginning of this time together to the end. And we just want to receive from your hand everything that you have, and we are grateful for it in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, light to the nations. This is God's calling and purpose for Israel. And here in verse 1 it says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. And of course in there's enough to do several Bible studies just on that one verse. But that's not our purpose tonight. If we could go on to the next one. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. And Isaiah 49, verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back to those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And these verses point us very, very clearly to the fact that in the Old Covenant, Israel was a standing witness to the power and reality of who God was and what he had done in their history. And it says there clearly, you are my witnesses. And we see this in, it's not up here, but you can read yourselves from Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 13. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord. In just one moment, I'll get down. And apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? So God is saying, come on, Israel, stand on my word. I have a job for you to do, a calling, a mission to be my witnesses. And the theme of the nation Israel as witness introduces the whole subject of mission in the Old Testament prophets. And it can be seen really clearly in the verses that we read earlier on, which come from what is called the Servant of the Lord poems. And this is where Isaiah uses that phrase, not once but twice. And what is God saying, you know? So the question that we might ask is, well, who is this servant whose specific mission it is to be the light for the Gentiles? And of course, those of us, because we believe in Yeshua, we believe that Jesus has sent us the Son, we can easily identify the servant of the Lord as Jesus, right? As Yeshua the Messiah, favored son of Israel, who was sent from the book of Acts 26, we read from verses 22 to 23, he was sent to proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And in John 8:12, it says, he was the light of the world. But what we know, which is why I'm happy I'm preaching to the choir, is that Yeshua, Jesus, arose out of the light of messianic hope that had already been given to Israel. Way, 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 way before Yeshua was born. And Yeshua came according to the promises which God made to the fathers, the patriarchs, the Hebrew patriarchs. And I'm just reading from Romans 9, 4 to 5. It says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. And then in Romans 15, verse 8, for I tell you that Messiah has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And here it's Paul, it's Shaul, and he's making it so clear. Yeshua the Messiah has become the servant of his people Israel, the Jewish people, for the purpose of confirming the truth that God gave to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, that in his promised seed, all the families of the world would be blessed. You remember that from Genesis 12, verse 3? So this Gentile mission, this being a light to the nations, wasn't an add-on. It wasn't just because, okay, the Jewish people didn't receive Yeshua, so let's add it on and give the Gentiles a chance. The Gentile mission has always been at the heart of all that God has called Israel and us as believers to do. So I'm going to just tell you now, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I research. And so I looked up in several texts in Hebrew the use of the term servant of the Lord. And for those of us here who are Hebrew readers, and we can read it ourselves, sometimes in the book of Isaiah, where I'm focusing on, the term servant is used in the singular, and that's some of the time. And in the other time, it's used in the plural in Hebrew. So it can be about the Messiah, the singular, or it can be used as a corporate term. So again, sometimes the term might refer to the representative of the whole group, aka Yeshua, the Messiah, and sometimes to the whole group itself, or in other words, Israel. So Israel's call to be God's witnesses was by their life, by the life of the nation, and by their behavior. And this is huge. What a responsibility. God's glory was to be seen through their actions and through their words. And God did not place any limit on that call. But regrettably, and it's a sad word for us to use. Regrettably, Israel put a limitation on herself towards God's call. We know this according to history from the Word. We know this according to history from history itself written. And we see that Israel became inward-looking, introspective about her faith, as if God meant it to be just for the nation. And we also know that Israel had to pay a high price for this time and again, because she was scattered among the nations and she was put into exile. But God is faithful, and we know that. And again, he continued to use Israel and through her to bring the man of promise, our Messiah, Yeshua. But the good news is that God's call on Israel to be a light to the nations has never changed. He continues to urge her to be that light. And he has a call for the Gentile nations as well. And the Gentile nations are to provoke Israel to jealousy and to repentance. And that's a big responsibility that you have. And this is beautifully illustrated for those of you who follow along the feasts of Israel. It's beautifully illustrated in the book of Jonah. And we read the book of Jonah. Every Jewish synagogue in the world reads the book of Jonah every year on Yom Kippur, on our most holy day of atonement. And we read it, and yet, until the Lord lifts the blinders from the eyes of the Jewish people, the interpretation may not be exactly what God intends. But Israel is urged through Isaiah to take her place as an active missionary nation. When we went to Israel 35 years ago, we were told not to use that word, as if the word mission was some kind of dirty word. And in fact, even today, one of the worst things you can be told, supposedly, by a religious Jew is, "Ata missionary, at missionerit," you're a missionary. But for us, we should rejoice in that, because that is God's purpose, not just for us as believers, but for all Israel, that it should be a missionary nation, and not passive, but active. And it's so strong in the verses that I read to you before. And those of you who are scholars, you can go into those verses that I read where it says that it's the responsibility of Israel to bring justice to the nations. What does that mean? One way we can look at it is to bring instruction. Instruction to what is right. And it has to come from those who have been entrusted with the insights of God, with the wisdom of God. Because the covenants, as we all know, were originally given to Israel so that she could share them with all the peoples of the earth. But here's what Mary said as well. This cannot be done in Israel's strength. This has to be by the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit must come on those that God has called, Am Israel, like rain on a dry and thirsty land, so that Israel can witness on behalf of the Lord. So what a privilege we have here this weekend to not just stand alongside, but to be a part of that same calling, and to be able, as prayer for Israel, to pray for Israel, to pray that God would lift the blinders off the eyes of the nation. Because if we can stand in the gap for Israel, we can believe that in God's time and through the prayers of the saints, Israel will take her place and stand in the gap that God intended her to do right from the beginning. And we also know that she cannot do this until she comes face to face with God. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. So Israel needs to be saved. Israel needs Jesus, Israel needs Yeshua, because without Yeshua, there is no hope. So what we are so privileged to do this weekend is to pray that God will lift that veil and will give Israel again the nudge that she needs to stand in the place that God has called her to be a light to the nations, that we might be steadfast in our calling as those of us who are Gentile believers, to cause Israel to come to jealousy and to repentance, and that we can all one day stand before God as brothers and sisters, not just because of the covenants of the fathers, but because of the gift of the Son. So that's what I have to share with you tonight, and I know that this was not news for you. I know that this is just reiterating what we already know, but I hope that it gives us a clear direction as to where we're going for the rest of the weekend. So, Toda Rabba Lekulam, thank you very much to all of you, and Shabbat Shalom from me.
Toda Rabba Lach, Mala, thank you very, very much. Folk, before I hand back to Ken, and you probably have a couple more worship songs that we may have jumped in ahead of, can I just ask us to focus for a second on these two candles? Remember, I said tonight we began with this first ceremony. And these ceremonies are to enable us, to help us to remember well what the Lord has done. These candles for us tonight, this light, speaks about Israel. Shabbat, the Sabbath, is the most holy thing to Israel, to the Jewish people. We look at these candles, we light the light. More modern rabbinic tradition would say, as we light the candles, and commanded us to light the Sabbath candles. In the Messianic home, in the Jewish home of followers of the Messiah, we go back to the calling. And we light the candles, we look at them, and we remember well that our calling is to mission, to be a light to all nations. Amen.
Okay, so as we sing these songs, I'm going to invite you to come, to take a piece of bread, to eat it, and to head away over to supper. Right, which is in the dining room right across. If I could ask Wayne and Eileen if they could go prepare, that would be fabulous. And thank you for that. So don't be shy. Come. Partake. It's good.